Gospel of Matthew.
The Gospel of Matthew and chapter number 17. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 17. I want you to go down to verse number 14. I'm going to read down through verse number 21. For those that were in the service last Sunday morning, we looked at the first part of this chapter where Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, and they go up into the mountain. And last week we talked certainly about give you the thought on having some private time with Jesus. And I certainly thank the Lord for helping us in that scripture and how important it is that we have some private time with Him. This morning I want to look down in verses number 14 through verses number 21 and not talk about the private time, but then today I want you to consider this thought out of these verses today. It is simply this: having power to move mountains. Having the power to move mountains. I want you to think about that as we read this text today. Now, it's familiar, and this is not the only time that Jesus has addressed faith, and faith being certainly the size of certainly pertaining to a mustard seed. But today I want you to think about not only that private time and how all this can go together and help all of us today for those that know Christ. Now, if you do not know Christ today, then certainly you need to be saved. And certainly then you can have that private time, and then you can have power to move mountains. Do you realize that today, friend, if you're saved, that you have power, not within yourself, but you have power through the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to move mountains? You say, preacher, not me. Well, according to this text this morning, you do. If you will have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I can move mountains. Now, I want you to think about that in your own life as we read this text this morning and give you the thoughts that the Lord's placed upon our heart for this hour. If you find your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning out of the reverence, or invite you to stand out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. If you're able to stand, and certainly if you're not, that's okay. Matthew chapter number 17, beginning in verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, now remember, Peter, James, and John, and the Lord Jesus has been up in the mountain, they've come down. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire, and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples. Notice in verse 16. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And notice in verse 18, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. And notice in verse 19, and then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, notice in verse 20, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And then I want you to notice this next statement. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. But notice verse 21. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. I want you to note verse number 21. Verse 21, howbeit this kind of what? This kind of faith goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we bow in your presence once again today, Lord, just to thank you, Father, for another day on this side of eternity. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for the forgiveness of sin and relationship and fellowship, Lord, that we have with you. Again, this morning, for this privilege just to be in your house, thank you, Father, for every individual. Thank you for every family. Lord, what a great number in your house on this Sunday morning. Lord, thank you for the teaching of the Word of God. Thank you for the beautiful singing. And Lord, all that's been done in your name. But now, Lord, I pray that, God, you would anoint me now with fresh oil. God, I realize today that I'm standing in a place where no man, I can stand alone and accomplish the will of God. I pray our ears and hearts will be open and receptive under the preaching of the Word of God. And I pray for those that may have mountains in their life right here today. And Lord, they just think that it's impossible, Lord, for you to be able to work and to do what needs to be done in their lives. Lord, I pray that you'd help me now. Lord, I don't want to preach in the power of the flesh. I want to preach in the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God, because I think there's some things here today, Lord, each of us need to consider. Lord, we need this kind. This kind. I do pray this morning, God, most of all, if there's one here today, and Lord, they've never trusted you as Savior, I pray this morning the mountain of sin stands in their way. God, I pray today, Father, you'll convict them and draw them. And Lord, this very day they come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Lord, use me now. And Lord, help us to be obedient and submissive to your word and your will. And Father, we'll thank you and we'll praise you. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious word of God. For a few moments this morning, and you do pray for us today, I pray that God would help each of us here this morning to consider this text now before us. And again, as we think about this chapter, we thought about that private time and Jesus being transfigured now before those three disciples. They come back down off the mountain, and we find that there's a multitude gathered there. And we find some things here in this text this morning that Jesus deals with. And then not only does he deal with, but then I think there's some things that you and I ought to consider from these verses of Scripture. Again, as they've come off the mountain, the other disciples here now were faced with a great dilemma and a need. We find that they could not help this man and his son because of their unbelief. I wonder this morning, and I want us each again to consider our own heart and our own life. I wonder how many of us this morning may have some mountains that we are facing in our own hearts and in our own lives. And because of our own unbelief, these mountains seem to remain. They seem to hinder. We just can't seem to get over them. We can't seem to get through them. And so today I'm praying that God will help each of us to consider maybe those mountains that we're facing and see how we can face these mountains today and certainly be what God would have us to be. And so, Lord, help me, and I pray the Lord help you to have the faith for you and I to face these mountains that potentially all of us are going to face. Listen, you're going to face some kind of mountain. And I thought about as I read the text that Peter and James and John and Jesus have just come down from the mountain. And I believe Jesus points back to the very mountain maybe that they came down from. Now, he doesn't say, but it could possibly be. And certainly pointing back to that mountain to let them other disciples know. You could say to be removed. And it would be removed. And so this morning, I want us to think about several things here. And I want to go kind of over this story that we have before us real quickly. But then I want to get down to those latter verses that we read into your hearing this morning for us to really dig in on this morning, verses 20 and verses 21. But this morning, first of all, I want you to notice in our story, I want you to notice a dilemma. We find here in this text a dilemma. You can also go to the Gospel of Mark and chapter number 4 or number 9 and Luke chapter number 9, and you'll find the same account. And so we find now in the lives of the disciples and the Lord Jesus and this multitude as they've come off the mountain, there's a dilemma here in the life of this man and his son. We find here a desperate daddy. Now think about the scene. Not only do we have a desperate daddy, but we have a demon-possessed son. And you say, preacher, how do you know that? Well, if you'll read not only here, but also in the Gospel of Mark, amen, this young man had a lot of problems. He had a lot of things that he was going through, and no doubt his father was going through. And so we find here a great dilemma here before us in this text. We have a desperate daddy. Mark chapter 9 lets us know, of course, when the disciples couldn't heal him and Jesus arrives, that he cried out with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And so we find here a desperate daddy. We find a man that's in a dilemma. We find a man that cannot help his son. We find a man that cannot do what needs to be done. And so we find that he gets him out to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, preacher, what does that have for us this morning? Hey, friend, there's folks in dilemma all around us today. And friend, I'll tell you what, the only hope is to get them to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, it's too big of a mountain. It's too hard to climb. There's nothing that I can do. Well, friend, I believe God gives us some things here in this text today that will help us to see that there's something that we can do. Hey, friend, there's not a lot that you and I can do, but there is something that we can do. And I pray that we'd see that from this text. So we see, first of all, a dilemma, a desperate daddy. We find a demon-possessed son. But not only do we find a dilemma, but secondly, I want you to notice a disappointment in the disciples. Notice back in verse number 16 in your text this morning. Verses 14 and 15 give us the dilemma. Verse 16, he says, "And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." Now I want you to understand something this morning, that Jesus had given these early disciples some specific instructions and even some specific things that they could do that you and I cannot do. I want you to understand that today as we look at this text. Let me give you a verse of Scripture. We find that in this dilemma, that the Father brings or comes to the disciples, and the disciples, they couldn't do nothing. Now listen, Jesus at this point in his ministry has been healing. He's been doing a lot of wonderful things, and no doubt the fame of him went out. And so this daddy thought, if I could just get him to the disciples could help him. But friend, we find there was a disappointment in those disciples. They could not do, oh my gosh, this is good right here. They could not do what Jesus had given them power to do. You say, preacher, you can't prove that. Well, let me give you a verse of Scripture in Matthew chapter number 10 and verse number 1. Jesus himself to his disciples, and when he had called, speaking of Jesus, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power. Y'all with me? He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So we find here that Jesus had given the disciples power to do some things that they did not do. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with us this morning? Well, let me say this first of all. These were credentials that Jesus gave to those 12 disciples this morning to prove who they were, who they had been with, especially to the nation of Israel. Remember, Jesus has not went to the cross yet. Jesus has not died. Jesus has not resurrected. And so he gives special power to these early disciples that they could go out and cast out demons and heal those folks that are sick. Now again, this was a specific time and a specific power that these disciples had. You say, preacher, do you mean that we don't have this power today? Not within ourselves. But let me say this. He has given you and I power this morning to look to him, to follow him, and to be a witness and a light and a testimony for him. These faith healers and all this message going on in our day, friend, don't believe any of that. I'm telling you, that is false doctrine. That's not of God. This, again, was a specific calling on these disciples. But aren't you glad we can have the same kind of power with Almighty God today? Hey, he wants you and I simply to go out and be witnesses and a light and a testimony for him. But notice now, there's not only a dilemma, there's a disappointment in the disciples. I wonder today, when people look at us, I wonder today, and I understand we're all going to fail and we're all going to come short. Hey, listen, all of us are going to do that. I understand that. But I wonder today, as lost people look at you and I wonder today if people that we come in contact look at us and look at our life and look at our attitudes and look at our faithfulness and all the things that go along with being a child of God. I wonder, are they disappointed in you and I? This desperate daddy in a dilemma comes to them wanting help from them. Jesus had given them power. Is that not what he said? But they neglected to use it in the right manner. Not only do I see a dilemma, not only do I see a disappointment in the disciples, but thirdly, I see a delivering Savior. Hallelujah for a Savior that can deliver. For a Savior that can heal. For a Savior that can do what you and I cannot do. And that's what happens in the story. Yes, he'd given the disciples power. But listen, I want you to understand something. I don't believe these disciples had ever faced anything like they faced with this dilemma. And friend, there's no telling what you and I might have to face today, tomorrow, this week, next week. Now, listen, we don't have any idea what we may have to face. But I'm glad we don't have to face it alone. I'm glad today that God has given you and I power through the Lord Jesus Christ that we can be what we need to be. We can stand in this wicked hour, thank God, and be what God has called us to be. Listen to me this morning. Let's not be disappointing disciples, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But well, I want you to notice a delivering Savior. Notice in verse 17. And verse 18, and then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." Notice in verse 18, and Jesus rebuked the devil. How do you know he's devil? A demon possessed, because Jesus says so. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. There's the dilemma. There's the disappointment in the disciples. But there's a delivering Savior. What are you saying, preacher? We got to get them to Jesus. We got to get them to Jesus. Friend, we got to get you to Jesus. I can't do what needs to be done in your heart and life, and nobody else can. But man, if we can ever get them to Jesus today, he's the one that can deliver him. He's the one that can do the work that we cannot do. And thank God today, I'm glad he is a Savior that delivers. Hallelujah. Thank God we ought to rejoice in that this morning, church. He is a Savior who delivers today, my friend. When the disciples couldn't, Jesus could. When they were overwhelmed, he wasn't. Hallelujah. Why? Because he is a delivering Savior. Notice, first of all, in his deliverance here, he kind of has a rebuke of the people in verse number 17, calls them a faithless and perverse generation. Again, now Jesus has been ministering, he's been healing, he's been preaching, he's been teaching, and yet so many of them are not getting that they got to receive what God does in their life by faith. I'm afraid we're a whole lot like that today. Listen, what gets done today will have to come through the avenue of faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and his living word. We have to have faith this morning. But notice, first of all, he rebukes the people, and then secondly, he rebukes the devil. You and I can't handle him no how. But aren't you glad there is somebody that can handle him? Think about this poor old boy. He's falling in the fire. He's falling in the water. I mean, I'm telling you what, he's sore and vexed according to the scriptures. He's in a pitiful condition. But I'm glad we see a delivering Savior. We see a rebuke of the people. We see a rebuke of the devil. But then we see him restore the son. I like verse 18. Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. I'm glad what God does through his darling son today, I'm glad he can do it immediately. Hey man, it doesn't take him all day to do it. Aren't you glad? Immediately. Why did that happen? I believe if you'll study not only this, but also the Gospel of Mark, it was because of his daddy's faith. Study it real close. Lord, I believe. In the Gospel of Mark, what he says. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. The disciples couldn't do it, but Jesus could. What are you saying, preacher? Again, what we can't do, I'm glad he can. But now I want to get down into the heart of the matter this morning for just a few moments. In having power to move mountains. And some of you are sitting right here this morning, there's mountains in your life that you feel like that is hindering you, blocking you, and you just can't seem to get over. You can't seem to get through, and you don't know how in the world you're going to get through it. Well, I'm going to give you some things this morning right here from this text that I believe will help us when we come to those mountains that we face in life. You're going to face them. You're going to come to them. What are you going to do when you're faced with a mountain? Let's look at it for just a few moments now. First of all, I want you to see some dejected disciples in verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart. In other words, after all said and done, the disciples get Jesus. Come here, man. We want to talk to you. We got something we want to ask you. Aren't you glad he's available to do that? Aren't you glad this morning when you don't understand and when you don't have the answer and you don't know what to do, that you've got somebody that you can ask, somebody that you can go to, somebody that can give you an answer? Notice in verse 19, they're dejected. Why do you say that? Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? In other words, why could we not do what you give us power to do? I've already said he gave them power to do it. We proved that in chapter number 10. But why couldn't we do it? Why could we not do what you give us power to do? They are dejected. Yeah, you ever felt like that in your Christian life? Lord, why could I not get that prayer through? Lord, why could I not do this? Lord, why could I not do that? Have you ever felt dejected in your Christian life? Sure you have. All of us have. irregardless of whether you stand in the pulpit, irregardless of where you stand before a Sunday school class, or any aspect of your Christian life, there's times that you're going to feel dejected. You're not going to get everything right. There's going to be times that you fail. There's going to be times, even where God has given us power to be the witnesses that we ought to be, that we're going to fail to be that witness. Right? So then we feel dejected. Why? Because that is the human response to when we fail. I've said many times, and I want to say again, that we're all, if you do anything at all for God, there's going to be times that you're going to fail. There's going to be times that you mess up. But don't let that be your address, friend. Now, thank God. Notice what the disciples do. In their dejection, they call upon the Savior. What are you saying, preacher? You're here this morning and you feel like you failed. You feel like you've messed up. You feel like there's nowhere else to go. Listen, God's still available. Notice as they come to Jesus, Jesus didn't turn them away. Jesus said, boys, I ain't got time to fool with you. I don't know about you, but I'm glad of that this morning. Notice he listens to them. Aren't you glad that we got a Savior this morning that will listen to us? Even when we feel dejected. And here we find these dejected disciples. I want you to think about it for a minute. Number one, I believe they desired to help. Who wouldn't? Think about it. Who wouldn't if somebody come to you and said, my child is in desperate need? Who here this morning would not say, Lord, I wish I could do something to help you? If you said, preacher, I wouldn't be any concern of mine, then there's something wrong in your spiritual life. Amen. There's something greatly needed in your spiritual life today. Because if somebody comes with a real need, and man, you study this. Man, I'll tell you what, this boy's messed up. I believe they desired to help. They even tried to help. How do you know? Because even the crowd said, the man said, the disciples couldn't do it. They desired to help. But not only did they desire to help, but I thought about this. Their disappointment in trying to help. How do you know, preacher? Because they asked the question, why could we not do it? Why could we not help this man and his son? After Jesus himself had given them power to do so. We see the dejected disciples, but then I want you to notice a defining answer in verses 20 and 21. Jesus didn't look at them disciples and say, you're about the sorriest crowd I ever seen. He didn't say that. Now remember, he is training these disciples to take on the responsibility of taking the gospel to the world. That's the reason he's given them specific power for a specific time. And they're dejected. And they ask a question, why could we not do it? Why could we not remove that mountain? Why could we not get over that mountain? Why could we not do what needed to be done? Notice Jesus gives them a defining answer. Look at verses 20 and verses 21. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed. How many's ever seen a mustard seed? I wish I'd had some to bring with me. You could have seen them from up here, nohow. They just little bitty, little old seed. I'd probably have to have my glasses on now to even see one. Now think about that for me for just a few moments this morning. Jesus gives them a defining, here's the reason you couldn't move the mountain. Because of your unbelief. I wonder today how many mountains we're facing in our lives that could be removed simply by just believing and trusting Christ. Think about that. Now, I don't know if you can remember back to the time where you were lost and undone without God, and God began to deal with your heart that you needed a Savior. Do you remember the mountains that the devil tried to create in your heart and your mind? Does anybody else remember that this morning? I'm telling you, it seemed like the devil just kept making that mountain bigger and bigger and bigger before me. All kinds of things that he would whisper to your ears and to your conscience and to your heart. But aren't you glad the moment that you stepped out by faith, that God done a work in your heart and your life, thank God that you've never got over, you won't ever get over, simply because that you trusted Christ as your Savior, you took God at His Word, you come to Calvary and called upon Him, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. You say, preacher, is it that simple? Thank God, I'm glad that it is. Well, preacher, I'm lost. How can I get saved the same way? By believing. By believing. By believing. So many Christians spend their life facing the mountain instead of the mountain being removed today, and my own life included, simply because we will not believe. I've said this before, but I want to say it again this morning. There's not one area of your life that God doesn't know about, doesn't want to help you with, but you've got to be willing to believe Him. I want you to think about this with me for just a moment. Let me run this little rabbit. I'll try to get right back on course here. Think about all those folks in the Word of God that accomplished great things, not for themselves, but accomplished great things in the work of God and for the glory of God. How in the world did they do it? They done it through the avenue of faith. Preacher, could you define faith? Simply taking God at His Word. Here's my thinking, the way the disciples thought. This man comes to them. His son is in a pitiful condition. Oh, we can take care of this. It's no problem. How do you know, preacher? Because we think the same way a whole lot of times. Oh, this ain't no problem. I got this. I don't have it, and you don't have it. Without the power and touch of Almighty God, we cannot do one thing that would bring honor and glory to Him and advance our spiritual lives. It takes faith. It takes faith. It takes faith. Notice again this morning, quickly, the defining answer. We find in the defining answer, number one, and I've already stated this and I'll move on quickly. Number one, we find the problem. The problem is unbelief. That word unbelief, as it's used in the text, simply means faithlessness. It also means unfaithfulness, and it also can have the idea of disobedience. Sometimes those mountains are standing in our way as we simply won't be obedient to what God has showed us that we need to do. I'm trying to help you this morning. How in the world can we expect God to take us to the next level of faith? How can we expect God to take us to the next level of service if we're not willing to be obedient to what God has already given us to do? I'm preaching good right now. Don't you die on me. Some people will never get any farther in advancement in their spiritual life because they won't be obedient. Now, this is good. This all be something you ought to put in your memory bank. You can't get any farther because you won't be obedient to what God's already showed you in His Word. You won't trust Him. If God can't trust you with the little things, how in the world is He going to trust you with the bigger things? Huh? You start out on the bottom rung of the ladder. You don't start out on the top. It's a learning process. And see what these disciples didn't really get a hold of. Hey, they're going through a learning process here. We find in the defining answer that Jesus Himself deals with a problem, the problem of an unbelief. You say, preacher, have you had that problem? Sure I have. There's not a person sitting under the sound of my voice that somewhere in your life, in your Christian life, you've had difficulties with faith. Why? Because we're in this flesh. Because we want to figure it out. We want to reason it out. We want to be able to do it in our own strength. And there's times that you just got to turn it over to God. And you got to do that by faith. The reason you can't move the mountain. You say, you mean, preacher, if I go out here and look at the Blue Ridge and I got enough faith that Blue Ridge mountain to move? I want you to understand something here this morning. Jesus is trying to teach them a spiritual lesson. You know, some people get off on foolishness. I'll just be honest. They get off on foolishness. God wants you and I to understand that I could go out here all day long and tell that mountain to move. It ain't going nowhere. Why? Because God put it there. Oh, that's good. God put that mountain there. And if God wants that mountain moved, He can move it. Huh? Matter of fact, He's going to move some mountains one of these days. But what He's trying to teach us is this. Because of our unbelief, the mountains seem like they cannot be conquered in our lives. In the defining answer, we see the problem. But not only do I see a problem, and Jesus didn't stop there. Not only do I see the problem, but I see the possibilities. Anybody with me? Preacher, what are the possibilities? Well, look in the text. The problem is this, our unbelief, just like it was the disciples, a lot of times that unbelief is my same problem. Now you can agree or disagree with me, but you know it's truth. Notice, and Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. But then I want you to notice the possibilities of faith. If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Preacher, I just can't. Preacher, I just can't. Lord, I just can't. No, you can't. No, you can't, but He can. And I want you to notice some things about the possibilities. I got to do this quickly. Notice the possibilities of faith. The key to living for God is faith. I want you to notice, number one, the size of faith. The grain of a mustard seed. I mean, itty bitty thing. Well, that just goes to show me sometimes I don't have much faith at all. Because if God's big enough to save me, God's big enough to take care of me, God's big enough to provide. I mean, I'm telling you this morning, we are His today. Notice the possibilities. I want you to notice not only the size, but let's think about the sincerity of faith. You say, preacher, what do you mean? The word sincerity simply means being free from hypocrisy or deceit. Why is it you're wanting that mountain removed? Why is it that you want the hand of God to move in your life? Why is it that you want the power of God in your life? Is it for selfish reasons? Huh? Or is it that it might bring honor and glory to Him? See, when we pray, we have to pray, Lord, what Your will is, not my will. But Lord, what Your will is. Well, preacher, I believe God would do this certain thing in my life, and He just didn't do it the way I think He ought to have done it. Well, bless your little old pea-picking heart, friend. When did you become as smart as God? When did you come to the place that you really knew what was best for you over what God knew was best for you? Now, listen, I don't understand all that God does. I don't understand why He does, how He does it, and a lot of times for the purpose He does. I don't understand all that. But I don't have to. Understand, you don't have to understand it all. You just have to trust Him. And there needs to be a sincerity of faith. It must be faith in the right person for the right thing. Think about it with me for just a moment. I'll move on. If these disciples would have been able to have done that right then. I wonder if it would. Boy, I'll tell you what. I'm getting pretty good at this thing. You know, it's a lot of times when you think you're getting pretty good at something. Oh, you're fixing to fall. I can never forget growing up. I liked to ride bicycles. Boy, I thought I was getting good riding bicycle. My daddy told me, he said, now, son, when you think you're really getting good at something, that's when you're really fixing to mess up. What does he know? They just had scraped their road. Oh, I still got it under control. I can ride this bike. Hey, man, I'm a professional bicycle rider. I take off down that hill and that freshly graded gravel. And Brother Ronnie, it wasn't long, or Brother Randy, it wasn't long. I was finding myself getting up off that gravel. Why, I thought I had it under control. I thought I had it figured out. I thought I could take care of it. Well, that gravel sure took care of me. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. We need to listen to Him because we don't have it. Notice the possibilities of faith. Notice the size. Notice the sincerity. But then notice the scope of faith. Look at the latter part of verse number 20. And nothing. Won't you say that with me? Are you with me? And nothing. Say it with me. And nothing. Like you mean it. Like good Baptists ought to be able to say it. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. That means all that God has for us is available to us. And if there's ever been a time that God's people need the power to move mountains, it's the day in which we live. You need power to move the mountains in your own life. You need the power to move the mountains in your family's life. And according to the scope of our faith, nothing shall be impossible to you. Notice the problem. Notice the possibilities. But then I want you to notice lastly this morning the procedure. The procedure to this kind of faith. Notice He gives it to us in verse number 21. One of the greatest messages I've got to hear is Dr. Jack Hiles. preached on this subject, this kind that Jesus is talking about here, I'm afraid the ordinary, everyday Christian never gets a hold of. Why? Because we're not willing to do the procedure. You say, preacher, what's the procedure? Well, it's very simple. Is it not simple? Oh, this man comes bebopping down here. Oh, yeah, we'll take care of that. We'll take care of that boy. Well, they couldn't handle it. Jesus lets them know that this kind, you don't get this kind by bebopping around. You don't get this kind by casually being a casual Christian. You don't get this kind just attending church once in a while. You don't get this kind just praying when you get in trouble. Am I preaching good right now? You don't get this kind by playing church. You don't get this kind, hallelujah, by doing things the way you want to do them. You don't get this kind by being casual. You get this kind by prayer and fasting unto God. That's the procedure. Preacher, why can't I get over this mountain? Why can't I get over this situation? Why can't I get through this situation? Why can't I have power with God? You can have. According to this text. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. What is the procedure, Pastor? What is the procedure, Preacher, for me having power to be able to move those mountains? It's prayer and fasting. Well, Preacher, that was just for the disciples. Well, if you study your Bible real close in the book of Acts, it talks about that early church praying and fasting. In the book of 1 Corinthians, it talks about fasting. Now, I know that's a detriment to us Baptists. I mean, if most people ain't at the restaurant by 12:30, they're going to die. Amen. I mean, honestly. Did Paul not write something about to, I believe it was at the church at Corinth, that their belly had become their god? Ooh, Miss Wilma, that's tough, all right. Ooh. But honestly, we want power with God. We say we want power with God. We say we want to move those mountains. We say we want to see our loved ones saved. We say we want to see the spirit of revival. Do we not say that? We're just kind of like them old disciples. We're just dejected because we're not getting it. Why are we not getting it? Because of our unbelief. Honestly, what could God do in my life? What could God do in your life? What could God do right here in this church if we just trust Him for it? I'm not talking about foolishness. I'm talking about taking the sincerity of prayer and fasting and using it to be a motivating factor to have the faith and power with God that we need. We can stay here for the next 20 years and operate status quo. I probably won't be here in 20 years, but we can operate in status quo, or we can say, I want the power of God. Why? Because God still has the power to heal. God still has the power to save. God still has the power to put things back together that's broken. Yeah. Preacher, I just can't get past it. Why can't we get past it? Is it because of our unbelief? Is it because we don't want to do the procedure? Well, now, preacher, I pray at night, Lord, I lay me down to sleep. That's not what he's talking about. Let me give you a couple of things, and I'm done, I promise. I know, people getting restless. The procedure to obtain this faith is through prayer. That word prayer, as it's used, it means to pray earnestly. It means to pray with a burden. And it means to pray believing. Whoop! Praying earnestly, praying with a burden, praying believing. Fasting, it simply means abstinence from food, or it also can mean abstinence from fleshly activities. And that's what you find in 1 Corinthians, and I'm not going to get into all that this morning. But you know what prayer and fasting does when you do it this way? It means you're getting serious about wanting power with God. Power that those mountains would be removed. In closing this morning, this kind of faith goes beyond human reasoning. Y'all got me? It goes beyond human reasoning. Look at the heroes of faith. Everything that happened goes beyond human reasoning. It goes beyond human strength. Now, we think we're pretty smart, we're pretty powerful, but at the end of the day, we're nothing compared to Him. But it goes beyond human reasoning. It goes beyond human strength. And this kind of faith depends on the hand of God to do what we cannot do. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. What kind of mountain are you facing? What kind of mountain you've been facing? You've been trying to do it yourself long enough. Why don't you let God do it? Won't you have enough faith to trust Him with it today? If you're not saved today, won't you come? Whatever mountain stands in your way, God can remove that mountain today, friend, and you can be saved right here today. But you're not going to get it, this kind, without prayer and fasting. Let's stand to our feet, Brother Scotty. Father, we've tried to deliver the message you placed upon our heart for this hour. And Lord, I just, right now, by faith, Lord, I commit this invitation now to your hands. Lord, you do what I cannot do. And then, Lord, help us to be obedient this morning to the truths in which you have revealed unto our hearts. And Lord, it's certainly not anything new. But Lord, sometimes we just need to be reminded that, Lord, if we're going to have the power to move the mountains and to see the mountains moved in our own lives, then, Lord, we're going to have to trust you for it. We're going to have to believe you for it. We're going to have to seek you for it. And I, Lord, I do commit it to your hands. Lord, you speak into our hearts. And I pray that we'd be obedient, submissive now to the truths of the Word of God and to the wooing of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, if there's somebody here today who's never trusted you as Savior and feels like nobody loves them, feels like nobody could save them, Lord, you can. And Lord, the rest of it, I just commit to your hands. Maybe some folks need to come pray. I don't know. Lord, just going to commit it to your hands. Help us to be obedient. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. As we sing together.